Today, someone was sharing with me that on this feast day, their favorite aspect of the mystery of the Assumption to meditate upon is to think of the reunion of our Blessed Mother Mary with her Son in heaven. But what would that encounter of Jesus and Mary have been like in that moment? How would that have appeared? I mean, you can imagine all the angels and the saints gathering around to watch Our Lady greet her Son for the first time. And when this person shared that thought with me, I thought, man, that is really beautiful. I've never thought about that. Right? It's an aspect of the mystery that it just had never struck me. And I spent the rest of the day thinking about it. How long did Our Lady live after her Son's resurrection and ascension into heaven? Approximately 20 years. I don't know if there are any mothers here who have lost a child. But the few moms that I know who have, there is no greater pain, I think, that a person could experience. And how much more for Our Lady, Jesus was not just her Son, He was her entire life. He was her everything. Think of how many times over those 20 years she herself imagined, what is it going to be like to encounter my Son anew? How she longed for that moment. My brothers and sisters, what was Our Lady doing for those 20 years? She was fulfilling the role that her Son gave to her as He was hanging upon the cross. When He said to her, "Woman, behold your Son. You now are the spiritual mother of all of my disciples." And so she began to be the mother of the church during her life on earth. Now, we catch only one glimpse of that in Scripture. And it's going to be so awesome to meet the apostles one day and to hear all the stories. But we only have one, the day of Pentecost. It says Our Lady was gathered with the apostles, right? Being a mother to them, interceding to the Holy Spirit for them. There's only one other story that tradition hands down that I'm aware of. Do you know what the first act of bilocation was in the history of the church? I didn't know there was bilocation until I read about Padre Pio. Right? Someone who could be physically present in one place and spiritually present in another. Last year on the feast of St. James the Apostle, as I was reading about him, I was so struck. St. James went to what is now modern day Spain. And he went there to preach the gospel to the pagan world at that time. And he was so disheartened as he preached the gospel, he had only a few converts. And the more he preached, it seemed like the more the people rejected him. And he thought, you know what, I'm going to give up. I'm going to go somewhere else. The Holy Spirit doesn't seem to be coming here. And right when he was about to leave, all of a sudden our Blessed Mother Mary appeared to him. And she appeared standing upon a huge rock pillar. And she said, "My son, do not lose heart. Not only will these people be converted by your preaching, but their faith will become as strong as the pillar on which I stand." When I read the date upon which that took place, I was blown away. It was the year 40 AD. Our Blessed Mother Mary died in the early 50s. So she was alive on earth by locating to Spain. She was with John in Ephesus, transported to Spain spiritually to take care of her son. My brothers and sisters, when Our Lady was assumed into heaven, she was no longer limited by her body on the earth. Not only could she take care of one spiritual child at a time, but now her motherhood would be universal. And over the last 50 years, I think I've shared with you every single story I know about Our Lady. And as this feast day was approaching, I thought, oh my gosh, right, I'm not going to have anything to say. One more example that I've only shared at a dating mass that I just recently learned of. From the life of St. Ignatius of Loyola. St. Ignatius is the founder of the Jesuits. He said this. This is in his private diary that was handed on. He said, "One day as I was conversing with the Holy Spirit before Mass," so he's standing in the vestibule about to come in, praying to the Holy Spirit. He said, "Just before going up to the altar, and then during the entire celebration of the Holy Sacrifice, I felt a violent interior commotion accompanied by profuse tears. There were moments where I nearly lost my speech. I was so overcome." He said, "I felt and saw the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, who was exerting her influence on my behalf to the Father, so that during Mass and consecration, I could not see or feel anything except her, who is, so to speak, part of that immense grace and also the door by which we enter into it." So here's St. Ignatius of Loyola celebrating Mass, and all that he is aware of is Our Lady's influence. And she is interceding with him to God the Father to obtain the grace that he can consecrate the Eucharist. That the Eucharist, the bread and wine, would not become our Lord's body and blood except by Our Lady's assistance with the Father. And he goes on, "With the help of a spiritual perception, I understood that she was showing me something extraordinary. In the act of consecration, the presence of her own flesh was within the flesh of her Son. And the feeling of that revelation was so profound that it is impossible for me to describe." Every saint that I've ever read about had a profound relationship with the Mother of God, who has become our Mother. And her role in the glory of heaven is to be a spiritual mother to every single one of us, if we but turn to her. And we ask our Lord Jesus Christ for the grace to relate to her as he did, and then as his apostles did, and then every saint down through the history of the church. What wonders will take place in our lives if we give ourselves totally to her.